The great I am. Do you know what? I mean, I lead worship at Birmingham. But when you find a song, most songs never talk about us or they talk about him. How many songs do we do that actually speak to him? That great I am song speaks directly to the heart of God, doesn't it? Perfect, absolutely perfect. I love songs. That's going to be on our song list because I didn't know that one. It's going to be on. But yeah, I just want to carry on. He's the great I am. Amen. Come on, church, he's the great I am. He's worthy of all honour and praise. He's worthy of all the glory. Amen. Amen. Lord, your glory is in your word. And that word, guys, is in every single one of you. Amen. Amen. So amazing what's going on here. There's so many things you're connected into. How you're reaching out to the community. You've got the coffee shop ready. We pray that you get people to come along to run that. Amen. Because that will be a massive outreach to this area. Because where are people called into the Lord other than through relationship? We don't just tell people about who Jesus is, though you do it when you can. There's a place for evangelism on the streets. And there are people called for that. But through relationship, we get to know people, they get to know us, they get to see Jesus in you. You know, a one-off on the street is, come on, we need to tell you about Jesus, and God will quicken people's hearts. But you build, strengthen them for God through relationship. You don't learn by just seeing people saved and then leaving them. You have to disciple them. Jesus didn't tell us to go and make converts, did he? He told us to go out and make disciples. And disciples are people who follow Jesus. And how can they follow him if we're not showing them how? Sorry, just a little sidetrack there, sorry. But I just love what you're doing here. I just love it. And I know you've been really focusing on prayer, haven't you, of late? You've been taking prayers from the Bible and just talking about the prayers of the Bible. And I thought, I'll have a think about a few of those. And I had this word in the back of my head that I couldn't get away from. And as much as I went to the prayers in the Bible, this same word kept coming back. So as I'm praying for, Lord, what am I going to say to this lot? Because they're all quite well-versed in the Bible. Whatever I say, they're going to pick to pieces. I hope you are Berean type of church, where you take what I say, go to the word, and you prove it. Because I might be wrong. I might be wholly wrong. So be careful on what you hear from the front. Go to the word yourself. Go to prayer yourself. So, I just thought of a few of the prayers in there, but there's hundreds, isn't there, in Scripture from beginning to end. I bet number 6, 24 and 26, do you know what that one is? The Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'd like to be able to say it in Hebrew because it's amazing, but I can't. But that's an amazing prayer. And you could study that and study that and study that. But it says it's the Aaronic prayer. But did you know that Aaron was told to speak it, but it wasn't Aaron's prayer. It was God's. Because it was God who told him to speak it. It wasn't something he made up. It wasn't the prayer of him saying, oh, God, you're good. God gave him this specifically to bless Israel. And are we not to bless Israel? Amen. Psalm 51. It's David's prayer for mercy and cleansing, isn't it? And boy, do we all need that at times. 1 Chronicles 4:10, the prayer of Jabez. Lord, expand us. Expand LBC. He's doing it because we're faithful to the calling and we're expanding. Warsaw is another expansion of what God is already doing. But do you know, we had a house group in our church 7-8 years ago. And we had it for 3 years. And then God told us that we needed to be sent because we were doing it on our own back. We had no covering. We weren't connected to any other church. And we clearly heard God say, I need you to be sent by something bigger than you. Okay. Then just the way things worked, the way he did it was incredible. And we met with Aaron. I'd met Aaron at our last church because he came to speak at Biker Church. Would you remember Alan, Big Alan from Albury? Anybody ever know him? He was part of it. So I've got connections anyway. Aaron had come to preach. And he was just a guy preaching. Yeah, he got this great testimony and everything else. Brilliant. But that was it. I did my worship bit. I was leading the worship for them. And I did for about 6 months. The biker church moved on from where we were, and we moved on from church. But one of the guys who left with us lives close to Arbor Church. So this is just God, isn't it? He was living there, and he said, "I think I found a prayer meeting. Do you mind if I go?" He was meeting with us in our house. And I said, "Of course you can go. Of course you can go. It's a prayer meeting. Just go." The next week he comes, he thinks, "I thought, I found a church I want to go to." Well, he only lived like 200 yards away from the place. So I said, "If God's called you there, I'm not standing in the way of God, because nothing can it? Nothing can stand in the way of God once God starts to move. We either get on board with him and be blessed, or we..." Okay. So I decided to go and have a word with this Aaron, because one of my guys was going there. I wanted to make sure he was okay. Of course, I'd met him before. He wasn't a cold call as such. But when I started to share what we were thinking of for church, he said, "You've just described LBC." "What?" Okay. Because even the same thing is our job. We're a central hub for a bunch of carers. All the carers, like satellites all around us, would be the central hub. I saw Jesus in the centre and the churches surrounding him. That was my picture. And he said, "Well, we're the central hub and we're going to plant everywhere that God sends us." And I thought, he hadn't got a plant then. Yeah, he hadn't actually started. He was only 2 years in, wasn't he? So the providence of God is amazing. So we made the connection. We started going to the prayer meeting. People confirmed words to us, so we just stayed. 7 years on, we're still here, and only just planting out. But I think God was preparing us, because there's a way to do church and there's a way not to do church. And I think we learned a lot about how church should not be done. So we had to unlearn an awful lot of stuff. And we do, don't we? We learn from our past experiences, stuff that is good and stuff that isn't. Sometimes God will put you in a place to unlearn, not just to learn new things. And he's good. It took us 7 years. I'm a slow learner. Sorry. So what I learned slowly is took a long time to come out. So now we're ready and we've said, okay, we'll go for it. It's interesting that this is our seventh year with the church. Seven is the number of completion, isn't it? But as we start, we just start in our eighth year. What does number eight mean? New beginnings. And we've had so many confirmations of that from places we never thought. When people just come and say, "Oh, it's a new beginning." God's good, and he confirms his word. Anyway, prayer of Jabez, let's expand. Lord, expand us. Take us where you want us to go. Matthew 6, 9 to 13 is the Lord's Prayer. And we know that's a model of prayer, isn't it? It's not a prayer in and of itself. It's a pattern to pray. And that's been mentioned in everything you've said this morning. There's been elements of the Lord's Prayer in everything we've done today. John 17 is all of Jesus praying for his disciples, praying for the people that will come to know him, and praying for himself. That's huge. Read chapter 17 and just remember what Jesus is actually praying for us, and he is now and always will be. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3. 14 to 21, Paul's prayer for Holy Spirit power and knowledge of the love of God and to be filled with Jesus and the fullness of God. That's a prayer, isn't it? How much do you want to be filled with God? Man, the Holy Spirit presence in here is tangible today. We want to be filled. You know, he's here because you're here. He's here because he's in you. But when we're together, he manifests in a way that is so tangible and it's electric. Beautiful. Philippians 1, 9 to 13. Paul's prayer for love, knowledge, and discernment. So Paul's praying for the churches. Jesus is praying for each and every one of us. And throughout the whole Testament, there's loads of them. And I could keep going, but I wouldn't be able to preach what God's given me then, would I? So we'd be out of time. But God's given me this word, and I thought, I don't know where it connected. And he kept saying, authority. Authority. How do you connect authority with prayer? How do I connect it, Lord? What is it? What have I got to do? All authority, Jesus says, and we'll go there. All authority has been given to me. Now I'm sending you, okay? But I want you to look at where authority comes from. Romans 13 and 1, have we got that up there? He said, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking at the political landscape of this world, our country in particular. Is that God? Is that a godly authority? God appoints and empowers and brings order. He always brings order to those he appoints and empowers. Who is the one who brings chaos? The devil, Satan. Satan is the god of chaos. So you tell me, who is in control of the country? Is it chaotic? Yes. Or is it in order, which is God? Not really. See, not everyone that is in authority has been put there by God. Not everyone in authority is godly. But you know what? God has got them there for a greater purpose. Because the end times are close. We are so, so close. And it's God who's arranging what's happening in the world. But Jesus said this, didn't he? Don't let your heart be troubled. These things must come to pass. It must. So why do we panic when things are going on out there? It's exactly what he said would happen. He said it. So we don't need to worry about the way the politics are going. We vote the way we feel God's telling us to vote. That's fine, we do. But it's up to God who's in place. It's up to God who wins the election. Even when the Labour got in, we're thinking, no. But it might have been for you. Yes, I don't know. It depends how you voted. It's up to you. It's your choice. But God let the man win. God has allowed this to happen. And I think we're at the point of being a godless country on the whole. We need to be praying for our authorities. And I'm sure you do. When you have your 24-hour prayer, be praying for expansion of the church. Be praying for Jesus to see people healed, restored, come to faith. Yeah, oh, great stuff. But what about our authorities? Pray for our authorities. Paul was quite specific. Have you ever read the scripture in John 19:10? In verse 11. I'll read to you first. This is Pilate speaking to Jesus. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had not been given from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Speaking of Judas. Jesus handed him over. So Pilate's there telling Jesus that he's got the power to take his life or give it back. What do you think Jesus was saying or thinking? Are you for real? I'm the son of God. I could do that and you'd be gone, man. But he didn't. He said, he quoted the truth, didn't he? No power has been given to you except from above. You see, God has got a greater plan. And Jesus knew the greater plan. So I wanted this word authority is what was coming to mind. An authority in our prayer life. The word power is the same word used for authority in places. Did you know that? So when Jesus was saying, you would have no power, he's saying you would have no authority. That's what he was saying, because the word power translates authority. The Bible doesn't always do it justice. Go back into the Greek and the word means authority in that particular word that was used there. And I'll show you that in a minute. So in the Greek, there's two words. And I'm sure Nick has probably said this before. Do we know what the word for power is? Dynamis, power, dynamite. That's one word. The other word is exousia. And it's that word that we're going to focus on. Because dunamis is about the miraculous, mighty work of God. When Jesus spoke of himself, he used that word. He used the word dunamis, because he's the one with the power. When he transfers it to us and he tells us that I'm going to empower you, he uses exousia. It's a different word. And that word is used for power, authority, giving you leave and permission. He gives you permission to use his power. It gives you liberty to use it as you want to. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? This is what Jesus has done for us. It also means the power of the one whose will and commands must be obeyed. When you stand in the authority and you know your authority in Christ, You can speak to the enemy and he has to obey. Because there's no greater name than the name of Jesus. Amen. So in Romans 13:1, where it says, let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority, exousia. That's the word he used. There's no exousia except from God. In Matthew 10, verse 1, and when he had called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power, exousia, over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. That is a power that it's not the miraculous, let's see an arm grow back, let's see the dead raised. It's a cast you out in the name of Jesus. It's a casting out of demons. It's a, because the demonic can also cause illness. Yeah. The demonic can also make you ill. So casting out a demon also sets people on a path to healing, both soul and spirit and body. Okay. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, exousia, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Mark 6:7. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them power, exousia, over unclean spirits. Do you see there's a difference between the dynamic power of Jesus saying something and us working in his authority to see these things happen? Because he has the power, but we've been given the authority. That's where it connects. Okay, John 17:2. I'd just like to establish it on a few scriptures. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. This is Jesus saying to God, is God to God, isn't he? Talking to himself, really. You have given him, Jesus, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. You have been given to God, every one of you. Every one of you have been given to God. You're his. You belong to him. And this is in John. Jesus is saying, all those that come to me are mine, and they belong to the Father now. Everyone. Everyone. So praying with authority, you do a lot of prayer. And so I'm probably teaching you something you already know, but maybe there's a refresher here. So how do we pray with authority? I've got 5 points and that's it. I'll try and keep it short if I can. Realize we can approach our Father God with absolute confidence because of Jesus. Hebrews 4 and verse 14 to 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Somebody prayed for boldness earlier. Come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I need God all the time. I need him all the time. I really do. Ephesians 3:11-12. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. These are all things we've said throughout the worship this morning and through the prayer this morning. All this is connected to what you've already been talking about. Okay, number two. We need to understand this confidence is based in our identity in him. Yeah. We co-heirs with Jesus, we're children of God the Father. Okay. Something you're probably already aware of, but I don't know about you, Brian, there's always a deeper. There's always more. There's always something else in God. We'll always be learning. Guys, always be teachable. Always have your heart and your ears open to him, always. Because we don't know everything. We know. Yeah. But if we all know a little bit each and we come together like this, we know a bit more, don't we? That's why fellowship is important. That's why praying together is important. Okay, 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on you, on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. But it's up to us to let them see that we know him so they can come to know him. Hence this church here, hence Woodrow, hence the next place you're going to be moving on to. Wherever God sends you, it's to show who he is. To show you who you are in him too. Because as you show other people, it reveals something to you as well. Did you know that? That as you obey him, he'll reveal the new. He's not going to give you a step and then let you take the next one until you've got that one. God ain't daft, is he? He's not going to go, jump a few. He's not going to do that because we'd be in and out of our depth. He always leads us. We do that, don't we? We jump on. We want impatient. We want it done. But we've got to learn to be patient, and we've heard that this morning as well. Galatians 3, have I done that one now? Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I'm not going to go down that one. That's a teaching on its own. But you do put on Christ. Do you know it's a choice? Every day it's a choice to put him on. Right, 3. Align our hearts with the will of God and his desires. That is so important. Read the scriptures. It's all about God's will for us. And God's will for us is that we'd all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But for them out there, because he didn't just come for us. He came for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. In John 5 and 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. In John, we see an awful lot of this interaction between Jesus and the Father, don't we? There's a lot of that in there. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is that, you know, Jesus never did anything that he didn't see the Father doing. So how would he know what the Father's doing unless he was in prayer and he was spending that time alone with him? You have to put that time aside, as difficult as it is at times. It might be when you're driving to work. Just don't close your eyes. Okay? It might be. It might be. You might be able to get 5 minutes in the morning. You might be able to go out for a walk. We walk quite a bit when we can. And that's when we kind of seek God. And that's where we hear from God. That's where we have our little moans at each other. But it's at that point we start to hear and get a bit more clarity on what God's doing and what he wants to do. So, yeah. The will of the Father, because you spend time with him. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Spending time with him, having your mind renewed, and that's renewed through and prayer. 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So how many times have we prayed and we've not seen a result and we've not had an answer and we've not had what we prayed for? Is it because we're praying amiss? Is it because... No, I think sometimes God has to teach us some lessons in our prayer. He wants to give you everything that his will is for you. But God says, we heard it this morning, God orders our steps. We put our plans in. Lord, we want this, we want that, we're going here, we're going there. But God orders the steps to get there. And though we can't just jump there, he will show us the way. And we have to follow the route that he gives because he knows the route. This morning he knows the way. So why would we follow any other route? Why would we jump in? Why did we jump into Warsaw 7 years ago? Because it would have been right. There's a few steps along the way that we needed to take. And the time is right. And how about the people that are going to come? Nearly every single person that wants to come are all prodigals. Some of them have not been to church for 25 years. But they want to come. And can you start from the beginning? Because I need to refresh myself and who I am in him. That's exactly where we're going to start. Right at the beginning. Right at the beginning. Why? Why Jesus? Why did we come to him in the first place? Because he's good, and we know he is, because we've tested and seen, we've tasted that the Lord is good. And we would never go back. But some people didn't really taste the goodness of God and fell away for whatever reason. But they're coming back because God is pouring out his spirit. Amen. Okay. So, number four, maintain daily closeness. Maintain daily closeness and obedience to Father God in personal relationship with him. The Bible doesn't actually say that about Jesus, does it? It doesn't actually say you need to have a personal relationship. It doesn't specifically say it, but it does say this in John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So it's inferred, isn't it? That you have to have that close relationship. That's the whole point. He's teaching us how to have a close relationship together as a church. Not easy. We're never always going to get along. But we still tolerate each other, if you like, at times. We still put up with each other. But there's this love, isn't there? There's this love inside that if anything happened to anyone in here, you would all feel it. You would all know. And you'd all want to do something about it. That's the closeness. So how much is the closeness of Jesus to us? When we consider that, oh, we wouldn't have anything happen to any of you. How much so, Jesus? How much more? That to me, that blows my mind. Sorry, it does. So a bit of a word study for you now. Anybody into word studies? Anybody? Anybody like to look at the Hebrew and the Greek and everything else? Go a bit deeper. I want to share a word with you about what it means to know. Because it doesn't mean what you think it means from how we use it. I know that person. I know that's their car and all this kind of stuff. In the Bible, to know something, when Jesus says to know, he means to perceive, to become acquainted, to become acquainted with, and through personal experience, not just facts. Do you get that? It's not just knowing something, you know. It's like we don't know of Jesus. We know him. We know him is real. He's an experience we've had. Because God's an experiential God. He wants you to know he's with you. And just reading words in a book ain't going to cut it. You've got to do what it says. Then you see that he actually is real and your relationship grows. So there's this word, I'm just reading a dictionary now. I think it's Strong's that I read this from. The word implies an active, growing, personal relationship with Father God. That's what to know means. So when Jesus says, I want them to know you, the only true God, just like I want them to know Jesus, whom you sent. It means personal. It means he wants to get up close and personal with you and walk every step of the way with you. That's what that word to know means. So in John 17:3, it's eternal life, knowing the only true God. It says it's eternal life. To know Jesus is to know eternal life. Not just to have eternal life, not just to have a ticket to heaven, but to know it and be the light here now. We are lights right now. We aren't called just to have a ticket to heaven. Okay, I'm okay now. No, we're here to be a witness to the light, to Jesus. While we're in the world, there's light in the world. There's coming a time, and it's not far off, when the restraint is going to be removed. And for me, if the restraint is removed, the Spirit, we're going to be with him. Because he says he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's in us. So he's going to take us with him. We call that the rapture. I don't know where you stand on that. It's up to you, but I believe in the pre-tribulation one. When he goes, I'm going to go. Then the enemy can take over the world. And that's when the 7-year tribulation will happen. It just makes sense to me. Okay. So to pray with authority is to know And the word is ginosko, ginosko, I think it is. To know the Father and Jesus is growing intimate relationship and is instigated by him at the cross. That's where it all started. And last one, Jesus, the word, is our final authority. Amen. He is final authority. He has to be our final authority. John 5:24-27 says this. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. And this authority is in each and every one of us. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through knowing me. Not just of me, but knowing me. So our authority is in him. His name is above every name. He's our Jesus, he's our Saviour, he's our Redeemer, but he's also the Redeemer of every single one out there. He didn't just die for us, we just found him, and he found us. We became into relationship with him, but he wants to do the same with every soul out there, no matter how bad they are, no matter what they're like, no matter what we see, he sees different. We sometimes look at the surface, we look at some of the things people do, we hate what they do, we hate the way people dress at times, but the heart God loves. Remember David? When Samuel was going to pick a new leader, a new king, and the first one came, Eliab, the oldest brother. Look at the stature of the man. No, God doesn't look at stature. He doesn't look at the outside, he's looking at the heart. God's authority in us to speak to people, to speak the truth, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, comes from our heart to see people saved and come in the kingdom. Simple, and he's given us the authority to do it. If people reject it, they reject it. It's not your call. See, we go out and we share the gospel. We go out and we do what we've got to do. You went out and shared the gospel. Is it up to you whether a guy gets saved or a woman gets saved or anybody gets saved? No. Jesus says, I build my church and the gates of hell. We're here as his tools, his instruments to be used. So, pray we know him that way. I'm done now. So I've got some worship to start with, to finish with. And I'm finished, but I just want us to think about this. That great I am is in each and every one of you. That great I am wants to use every single one of us. And I'll tell you what, he'll use the kids sometimes when we're in listening. They'll come out with some incredible stuff in passing and we'll go, what? And we either get pride and kid can't tell us what to do, or we go, that kid has just heard from God and told us something. We can't put age on it because age is not a sign of maturity. Obedience to him is a sign of maturity and only him. Amen. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you that you are the great I am. Lord, we're so grateful that there's going to be a time, oh God, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you're Lord. But Lord, we want to see people do that now. We want to see people come to know you now. We want to be that light that shines that people go, I want that. Whatever it is you've got, I want it. Lord, just help us to be that light and witness that you've called us to be. Lord, as we've heard your word, Lord, whatever wasn't of you, please, Lord, let it just wash away. But what is of you, let it take root in our heart. Lord, let us nurture the truth of your word. Because Jesus, we want to know you more. And we want people out there to know you more. But Lord, you fill this place with people who need you. People who want to find you. People who want to walk with you. And who want to walk with us. Because Lord, we want to walk with them. We want to walk with them. Thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, I pray an anointing on this place. I pray an anointing on the people in it. Lord, I pray you will excite them even more as you start to expand your kingdom. And maybe you're going to call somebody in this place, in this room, that's going to go out and do things that they never even thought possible. Because you're in them and you've called them. And you don't, Lord, you don't call the equipped. You equip the called. So, Father, all those that are called in here, Father, continue to equip them through the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Hallelujah.